Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. The only thing I like better than baseball is saving people money. Start saving now with a cash out refinance at thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Did you know that just by calling Design Air Heating and Cooling, you may have the chance to throw out a first pitch at Busch Stadium? The number to call at Design Air Heating and Cooling is 314-739-1600. 314-739-1600. Just by calling Design Air Heating and Cooling, you'll be registered for the chance to throw out a first pitch and four all-inclusive tickets to that game. 314-739-1600. Visit designairservice.com. Proud partners of the Cardinals. This is ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. If you are new to the website, a reminder, we have Mondays with Mo, our weekly conversation with John Mozeliak. We visit just about every day with Derek Gould of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Game one of every series, there's a preview with Chris Raby. Thursdays, we have Tony La Russa. On Fridays, it's Ben Fred Fridays. And on Wednesdays, like today, it is Wednesdays with Walton. And it's our weekly conversation with Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com as we are able to dive into the minor leagues, also a look at the major leagues. So we'll do that with Brian. We'll talk about the Arizona Fall League, Dylan Carlson not going, but a couple of new faces that will be going. We'll also talk about what was the oldest living member of the Cardinals Hall of Fame, just passed away. Brian's got a piece up on that. And a talk about some of the guys that could be impactful in the Cardinal outfield for next year. So those are just some of the topics we'll get into with Brian Walton. If you did not hear it with John Mozeliak on Monday, one of the questions about a young player now making an impact on the big league club, Henesy Cabrera, and how excited they are with him and where his future lies.
You know, when we traded for him, we were excited about his arm. We knew it was dynamic, but there were still some things that he had to do to be consistent at the major league level. But I think everybody's starting to see why we were so excited about him when we acquired him in the trade. And it's easy to envision him being a part of our club, whether it's if we get to postseason or definitely impactful next year. So definitely excited about what you're seeing out of him.
I know you'd never like to peg a guy one way or another or put yourself in a corner. I will ask the question, though. Do you look at him more as a reliever or as a starter moving forward?
Well, I would definitely think we'd bring him in as a starter for spring training next year because he's already been stretched out. He's shown he can do that. And then if there's no spots for him, then he could easily go into the bullpen.
Sure. Justin Williams was the other part of that deal, and he came on late, Mo. I was curious if you thought about bringing him up because he's a left-handed bat. Now, you do have a lot of outfielders, but the idea of a left-handed bat, and he had really picked it up at the end. Was there any thought to bringing him up at the tail end of the season?
Yes, there was a lot of discussion about him, and I think really it just came down to a numbers game here at the big leagues in terms of opportunity. But, you know, it was great because, you know, the year was definitely a lost year for him. But to have him finish the way he did was very important.
You don't want to miss those. Those are every Monday, Mondays with Mo with John Mozeliak. You can face off against your friends, ultimate bragging rights at Westport Social, located in Westport Plaza. Westport Social, a classic bar and gaming lounge with seven classic games. Indoor bocce, they've got Papa Shot, floor and table shuffleboard, ping pong, darts, and so much more. Live music every weekend, private parties, they host those. They have brunch on Sunday. It's a great place to be. Check it out. Just go to their website and look at what they offer for you. WestportSocial-STL.com. WestportSocial-STL.com for more information. We'll visit with Brian Walton of The Cardinal Nation coming up. Hey, St. Louis. Fall is in the air. That means football watch parties, chili cook-offs, caramel apples, and so much more. Are you looking to get all those fall essentials in one place? You'll find it at Schnucks. Schnucks is all about saving you time and money. So instead of bouncing around from store to store, go to one place that rewards you and gets you what you need. It's Schnucks. Get ready for fall. Get ready at Schnucks. For all your fall essentials, think Schnucks. Are you ready for the boys of summer? Well, pull up a front row seat at Hot Shot Sports Bar and Grill for all the Cardinals action this season at one of their 11 area locations. During every Cardinals game, you can enjoy the new Hot Shots Triple Play Special featuring a large pizza,
Order a boneless wings and a bucket of Bud Family bottles, available for a great price. Also, be sure to join the party on the last Tuesday of each month this season for Hot Shots Ticket Tuesday and your shot to score a pair of tickets to an upcoming game. Don't forget to score $1 Hot Shots Tacos any day after the Cardinals score 8 or more runs. Hot Shots, proud home of Cardinal fans since 1990. Your home for all the games, all the time. Find a Hot Shots location near you. HotShotsNet.com. Brian Walton of TheCardinalNation.com. It is a Wednesday morning. Should be a lot of fun with Scherzer and Wainwright on the mound at Busch Stadium. It's an early start, and the Cardinals head out for their final road trip of the season. TheCardinalNation.com. We do this every Wednesday. It's a look at the Cardinals minor league system as well as what's happening with the major leagues as well with the St. Louis Cardinals. And Brian, good morning to you. How are things going?
Great, Dan.
Well, things aren't going so great for the Cardinals right now. Let's talk a little bit about what's happening with St. Louis from your take on things, and you follow it from a broad view of looking at the minor leagues and the major leagues. Let's talk about the major league club. What are you seeing out of the major league club right now?
Well, we saw quite a good stretch of baseball from them for a long time, and it was because really all five members of the rotation were pitching well. Now we're kind of to the point where past Hudson and Flaherty, you're not necessarily sure what you're going to get. And they're in a tough stretch right now where I think they've lost five of their last eight, something like that. And, you see the offense score 10 runs one day, and then, the days before they score one or two runs each. And, you're not going to win many games when you score only one or two runs. So the offense has got to get some guys, more than one guy at a time, clicking on all cylinders.
Absolutely. Winning in the minor leagues, it's important. It probably isn't the most important thing, though, because it's about development. But how do you think that plays into guys like Tommy Edman and some of the others, Dakota Hudson, Flaherty had some success down there with teams, to now, having gone through some of that pressure of winning in the minor leagues as it compares to what you're doing now?
Well, the Memphis Redbirds had won championships at the Triple A level in both 2017 and 2018. So most of the young players on the Cardinals teams were a part of those Stubby Clapp led clubs at Memphis, either last year or the year before. So even guys like Gallegos, who folks say, he hasn't been through the wars, but he spent time with Memphis last year at the end of the season. Same with guys like Helsley and Cabrera. So, these guys have all been exposed to winning baseball in the Cardinal system. So, you would hope that would be a factor for them in a pennant race that they're familiar with the pressure, albeit, granted, the pressure is going to be a little bit different, in minor league baseball versus major league.
Absolutely. Mark DeJean decided after 40-plus years of coaching and professional ball to hang it up, most of that with St. Louis. It started back in 1986 with the Cardinals organization. You had a very nice article up at thecardinalnation.com about Mark. I'm sure you had long conversations with Mark about philosophy and minor league coaching and managing and development, that kind of thing. What's your takeaway from what you wrote and just your thoughts on Mark DeJean?
Well, DJ, has been a manager in the Cardinals system for a long time. Came up to St. Louis, was the bench coach and the bullpen coach under Tony La Russa. Then went back to the minor leagues, and rather than at the higher levels, he went down to the lower levels and really focused on teaching youngsters. He was an infielder when he reached the major league, and that was his specialty. But he was really, really good. Kind of a foghorn, bullhorn kind of guy in terms of, boisterous, loud, always kidding players. But he really kept guys on their toes and was highly, highly respected. DJ won, his teams won championships in 2004 and 2008, both at AA and then at in the New York Penn League. And he was the George Kissel Award winner both years, and that's the most prestigious honor that anybody in the player development organization can have. And the George Kissel Award is voted by your peers, by everybody else in the organization. So for DJ to win that not once but twice really says a lot. And the first time I met Mike Schill was in 2005. he was a position coach. They had sort of created a third coach then at the minor league level. At that time, they just had a hitting coach and a pitching coach for the manager. And Mike Schill was this relatively young guy working under Mark Johns. And DJ is one of the guys who has mentored him throughout his entire career. And, Mike Schill's not the only guy in the organization that Mark Johns touched. That affected multiple players in the system, and it's just a guy that was a Cardinal through and through.
Yeah, you mentioned it. Mike and Mark are very, very close, aren't they?
They really are. He's one of the guys that, along with Tony La Russa and a couple others that Schill rely on very, very closely for baseball advice. And, DJ's a no BS kind of guy. He tells things like they are, whether it's good or bad. And, sometimes he wears his heart on his sleeve as well. Very, very emotional guy. But he's just a baseball lifer and knows the game in and out.
I've said many times when I've talked to people privately and publicly that Mike Schill, in many ways, is a gambler in how he manages. He's going to push the envelope. Are you seeing that here in that final month of this regular season with the way Mike is managed?
I think so. We've seen in a couple of these games, sometimes the moves haven't worked out in that, he's not been afraid to pull a pitcher or pull a reliever in favor of another. And then, in the game last night, Gallegos was, moving along very well, but he had already gotten four outs. And so he went on and brought in other relievers and, they didn't pitch up to that same level. But, this is not a time to be timid, that's for sure, and every one of these games count. So as much as the pitching matchups are going to be important in this Cubs series, the starting pitching matchups, this could easily be come down to a game of moves, whether it be pinch hitters or likely the bullpens in this crucial four-game series coming up against the Cubs.
I'm curious, when you were covering Mike in the minor leagues, how often did you hear that they told him, hey, pull back the reins on winning games. We want you to win games, don't get us wrong, but we want to see guys in tough spots sometimes to see how they're going to react, like a lefty-lefty matchup, that kind of thing.
Oh, that isn't something that had to be told. That's something that was understood. And one of the things that you never see, almost never see, for example, in the Cardinals minor league system is one guy designated as a closer and he gets 25 or 30 saves in a year. That just doesn't happen. They want to see different pitchers in different situations. They want to see guys throw multiple innings where they get a chance to explore all their offerings. They don't come just in and, for example, blow fastballs away by hitters because they know, eventually they're going to be, when they move up, they're going to be expected to play, a different role. A reliever's not going to come up and become the major league closer the first day he's there. So there's always certainly a focus on winning, but player development is number one. And, that's anybody in any organization will tell you that's what matters. But the Cardinals had done it, had done prior to this year, which was a bad year for the minor league system, as we talked about. The Cardinals really balanced winning and development pretty darn well.
Were you surprised at all to see the emergence of what we're seeing with Junior Fernandez and also the lefty Genesis Cabrera and the role that they're all of a sudden starting to take on here in the final couple of weeks?
Well, I think the story of Junior Fernandez, really began at the beginning of the year. I mean, this was a guy, and I think I mentioned this before, he was a guy that was available to any team in Major League Baseball in the Rule 5 draft just 9 months ago, last December. The Cardinals passed him through Rule 5 and nobody claimed him because there were worries about his shoulder. So here's a guy that started 2019 in high A down in Palm Beach. And so for Fernandez to blow through the system and become a contributor at the major league level when his stock was so low, I think is something that surprised everyone, including me. I mean, he had the potential. He's been a top prospect for so long. We sort of almost started to give up on him because his career seemed to plateau. Whereas Cabrera, he came to the organization with all his potential, but he's young and he's green and he, needs to harness his offerings. He needs to be more consistent. He needs to get a better break pitch. But, he came as a AAA pitcher, a AA/AAA pitcher. So I think in Cabrera's case, the excitement is that he's starting to become more consistent. He wasn't that consistent with Memphis this year. So, until he really turned it on towards the end of the season, there was question, at least in my mind, whether we were going to see him in September. And certainly the fact that he's left-handed definitely plays into that, into his interest for the Cardinals to have brought him up and for him to be used.
Absolutely. I want to get into what's happening with the Arizona Fall League, Brian. There's been some shifts in terms of players that will be there. What have you heard with, first of all, Dylan Carlson, and then a couple of other players have been added to the Fall League?
Well, the Cardinals initially announced 7 of the 8 players that they planned to send to the Arizona Fall League. They typically send 4 pitchers and 4 position players, and one of the 4 pitchers is a starter and then 3 relievers. And one of the relief spots was open, and they filled that with a reliever from AA, Raul Ramirez. Raul Ramirez was part of the Tommy Pham trade. He was the 3rd guy that folks really didn't, you know, remember as much about. But he worked in AA this year and then moved up to AAA at the end of the year and was a real workhorse at the AA level. Struck out 80, walked 29. In 36 appearances. So he's a guy that, you know, could get himself into the St. Louis picture with some success, and the Arizona Fall League is the best way to go. The other change was on the outfield side, which you mentioned before, and that is that Dylan Carlson, who the Cardinals announced was going to be their headliner in the Arizona Fall League, they decided in discussing this with Carlson that that they would pull him from the Arizona Fall League. And really, there's nothing wrong with Carlson. In fact, I think really his own success when he was called up to AAA during August really made it less necessary for him to go to the Arizona Fall League. He showed he could hit AAA pitching. He showed he could be successful there. And he'd already logged over 550 plate appearances, which is a long season for a young player. And there's always the risk of not only fatigue, but injury when a player really, you know, goes that deep into the year. So in the case here, they just said, okay, well, we're going to give, you know, make sure Carlson has a program to work out, to get stronger, to get ready for major league camp next spring for, you know, potentially a very, very important role. And they replaced him with Connor Capel. And Capel is the son of a former major league pitcher and was part of the Oscar Mercado trade from Cleveland. He was a 5th rounder in 2016. Capel's an outfielder. He only had a middling result this year at AA, 40 RBIs in 98 games, but only a 635 OPS. But when some of the injuries occurred in the outfield in St. Louis, he was bumped up to AAA. And for about a week and a half, he had a very, very strong introduction at Memphis. So he's a guy that's, he's I think, 35th, if I remember right, in our prospect rankings right now, and will compete for a spot in the AAA outfield for next year.
How about, when you think of Carlson, if they don't bring back Ozuna, what do you think his shot is of making that opening day roster of 2020?
If Ozuna doesn't come back, I think the odds are extremely high.
Yeah.
Now, you know, he needs to come to camp and play well. Obviously, they don't, you know, if he comes to camp and hits 200, you know, that would probably say they would send him down and let him percolate a while longer. But, you know, if Ozuna doesn't come back, I think the job is his. We, you know, since Tyler O'Neill's been back from injury, we really haven't seen him much other than a pinch hitting role. And that would suggest to me that, you know, they're not working hard to try to get him more at bats. They may have, you know, decided that Carlson, you know, would be ahead of him in the pecking order. I didn't think that until this last time he went on the injured list. But, you know, he had that golden opportunity when Ozuna was out for over a month, and, you know, he couldn't stay healthy himself, which is part of the problem for Tyler O'Neill. Lane Thomas is a guy that, you know, could have pushed his way into the picture, but obviously he's injured. And I think, you know, Randy Arozarena will go back to Memphis for a while next year. But, you know, we'll certainly see him back sometime in 2020.
Hair Salon for Men, proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Home base in St. Louis, founded in 1997. 16 locations. You'll receive the perfect haircut, complimentary beverage, relaxing shampoo, hot towel and a mint, complimentary shoe shine, all for just $22. And for an extra $5, get a stress-relieving scalp massage. Hair Salon for Men. 16 locations. There's one near you. Hair Salon for Men.
I think, you know, with now you can see why they traded Mercado and they traded others because of the logjam that they had there. But which one of these guys that you're talking about here, Thomas and O'Neill and Carlson, Which one do you think can be, and let's take Carlson out of the equation, which one of these guys, or Rosarena, can be impactful in your mind at the major league level?
They made a decision when they traded Mercado, who is a prototypical center fielder, very good base-stealing skills. They decided that Thomas was the guy that they wanted to keep instead. And I still think he has the most potential in center field because, let's face it, you know, after that brief period of success when he came back up, Harrison Bader's, you know, back to struggling again offensively. And there's not, you know, it's not a guarantee that his defense is going to be enough to hold that job. So I think of that group, Lane Thomas has the most power, is the best all-around player, and I think is the best defensive player in center field as well. So I think he would be the one that would probably have the best potential. But, you know, it's not like it's super obvious that there's a huge gap between himself and, say, a Rosarena. I think, you know, O'Neill is what he is, which is a power hitter who has trouble making contact sometimes. And it's just going to be hard for him to hold a regular job. But, you know, he would have a great value as a pinch hitter and as a substitute kind of player. But, again, you know, the Cardinals have to decide what they're going to do with Jose Martinez as well.
Let's wrap it up with a couple of things here. Wally Westlake, the oldest living Cardinal, passed away. And you had a story up at thecardinalnation.com.
Yeah, one of the things that I keep track of because I, you know, care so much about Cardinals history is I, you know, keep track of the oldest living players and I keep track of the former Cardinals who passed away. And at the end of the year, I always write a story about that. And I received an email from one of Wally Westlake's grandchildren, letting me know that he had passed away on the 5th, last Thursday. And, you know, Wally Westlake was a guy that not a lot of folks hadn't heard of because he played in the 40s and the 50s. Was a guy from California, and he came up with the Brooklyn Dodgers, interestingly, and worked under Casey Stengel. Before Casey Stengel was a major league manager, if you can imagine how long ago that was. He was an infielder, also played the outfield. When he came to St. Louis, he was actually in his best season in 1951 as an all-star, played with the Cardinals, but then Branch Rickey acquired him in a trade. Branch Rickey, I'm sorry, sent him to St. Louis in a trade in which Joe Garagiola joined the Cardinals. So that was kind of interesting as well. But Westlake really didn't catch on with the Cardinals and became a journeyman, moved on in his career. But still, you know, played in almost 1,000 major league games, had 127 home runs, 539 RBIs, and he spent his retirement years back in Sacramento. So with the passing of Wally Westlake at 96 years old, now the oldest St. Louis Cardinal, former St. Louis Cardinal living, is a pitcher named Bill Greason, who pitched briefly for the Cardinals in 1954, and he's 95 years old. And Greason, folks sometimes may have heard of him because he's the second African-American player to become a Cardinal and the first African-American pitcher, so, you know, paving the way for the Bob Gibsons of the world.
Absolutely. Brian, I know you're working on your Players of the Year for thecardinalnation.com. What do you have going?
Well, right now we've just started our rollout of team recaps. So we've covered the two Dominican Summer Leagues and the Gulf Coast League, and that's the story that's up today. So folks can read about the 2019 Gulf Coast League Cardinals in review. And once we go all the way up through the system to Memphis, then we'll come back around, start with the relief pitchers of the year, then the starting pitchers of the year, and the players of the year for each of those eight levels, and then we'll wrap it up with St. Louis once that chapter is written.
Best way to get all your work, how do people do it?
TheCardinalNation.com. Remember that V at the front.
All right, Brian. Thanks so much. We'll catch up next Wednesday.
Take care, Dan.